Here we go. Awesome. All right, we are jumping in. Just to recap what we've talked about this last few days is we talked about the message. We talked about the message of Jesus and why it's clear to us. Yesterday, we talked about our purpose. Now, our purpose is clear to us. And today, we're going to talk about something that I'm really passionate about, and you'll hear about more about that in a minute. But as we start, I want to share with you guys a little bit about myself. And so one question that I always get, it's the first question whenever I meet somebody new, they always ask me this question. How tall are you? Right? How tall? Some of you guessed it. How tall are you? Right? Because they're like, you're taller than a normal person. Right? Like I'm not just tall. I'm like a little bit awkward tall. Like you notice my height. And I, for those who don't know, I'm 6'6", very tall, very tall. And what you know to be true about tall people is they do what? They play basketball, right? So I fit the stereotype. Unfortunately, I did play basketball. And I'm going to share a little story about me in college. So I played college basketball. And I played, as I said yesterday, for Oklahoma. And so we were, my senior year, actually pretty good. And we got to this championship called the Final Four. And so before you think that's really impressive, I probably averaged more high fives than I did points because I was on the bench. But it was still pretty cool because we got to do a lot of cool things. And one of the cool things we got to do is when we were at the Final Four, so it's the four best teams in all of college basketball. And so we got there. It was in Houston. And when you get there, they basically invite you to go in this massive room, and it's called the prize room. All right? And what you get to do in this room is you get to pick – two gifts that are completely free, absolutely yours. You just get to pick them off the shelf, and they're spread out all throughout this room, okay? And so they had some incredible options. They literally had flat-screen TVs, whatever gaming device you wanted, headphones, shoes, plane tickets, literally anything that you can think of that's awesome and probably at Best Buy. That's what you had the opportunity to get. And so I walked through these aisles. They only gave you a limited amount of time. So I had about 10 minutes to get through all these items, and it was overwhelming because I had decision fatigue. I had no idea what I wanted because I was surrounded by so many good options. It's like when you walk in to Buc-ee's, right? There is snacks everywhere, and you're like, I could be here for 2 hours. And then you get something, and then you see your friend has it, and you're like, oh, shoot, I should have got that in the car, right? Because you are surrounded by so many good options. And I was surrounded by so many good options that I hesitated. I was like, I had four different things that I wanted, and I eventually settled, you're going to laugh, on a furniture set, okay? Because I was graduating college. I was graduating college, had to get an apartment, and so I needed to furnish my apartment. And so they sent me these two items, these two pieces of furniture that I was going to get. One of them was a cool chair that was all right, and then they sent me a lawn chair, okay? They literally sent me a lawn chair. I had no idea what it was, and eventually that chair, where it ended up, the gaming chair that they gave me, is I sold it on Facebook Marketplace. And then this lawn chair is a picture right here. It literally just sits in my front yard, like just sun beating down on it. It's a terrible chair. It's basically broken by now, and it just looks ugly, right? And so I made a bad decision in that moment. And of all the good options I had, I could not focus on what I really wanted. I couldn't focus on what was really important. And I do think that small illustration does describe your life as a teenager, that you are surrounded by so many good options, so many different things in 2021, where it's really hard to decide what's really important. What do I focus my life on? What do I focus my attention on? And so we're going to be talking about distraction today. We're going to be talking about distraction and how to win against distraction. And so I want to talk about how distraction can complicate your life. And here's a definition of distraction. It's a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. And so here's the reality. Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, every social media, their whole goal is to get your attention. They make money off capturing your attention. And so hundreds of employees are doing one thing, trying to figure out ways to get your attention, to distract you from something else, to get your attention on them. And so distraction is huge in our culture today. Picture this right here. I was reading some statistics on this, but Starbucks has 87,000 different drink combinations. Wow. Sonic, 168,000 drink combinations. Netflix, at any given time, 4,000 movies at one time. The Apple Store, 1.96 million apps. 63,752 games, video games, exist right now. So you are surrounded by so many different options that it can be overwhelming and hard to choose what's right. I was thinking about this quote from a Disney movie, and I'm going to read it, see if you notice it. But he says, okay, here we go. Focus. Speed. I am speed. One winner. You got it. There we go. Let me finish it. You got it. It's cars. One winner. 42 losers. I eat losers for breakfast. Breakfast? Maybe I should have had breakfast. Brekkie could be good for me. No. Focus. Speed. Faster than fast. Quicker than quick. I am lightning. So it's Lightning McQueen. He's about to get on this race, and then he just started to think about breakfast. Like, he goes on this rabbit trail, and he doesn't even think about the race that's before him because he loses focus. And so we're talking exactly about the problem that he had around how we can continue to stay focused on what matters. And we're going to be in three verses in our Bible today. That's all we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. And so let me give you some context of where we are. Hebrews is a book written to a group of people. It's written to a people that are feeling persecuted in their faith because they are surrounded by a lot of distractions. So it's really relevant for our life today. And the author basically comes in and just challenges them and says, hey, you are running a race. I'm going to give you motivation. It's like a halftime speech from a coach. He's motivating followers of Christ to stay focused. And so we're going to read verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to unpack them with three quick observations. So here we go. Verses 1 through 3 of Hebrews 12 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So in that verse 1, the first observation I want to make is the danger of distraction. The danger of distraction. So notice in that verse, he says, let us lay aside every weight and sin. So he's basically describing a difference between a weight and a sin. He's saying a weight aren't necessarily bad things. Like, a lot of you guys will lift weights in order to get stronger. They can be good things. But weights that start to weigh you down can become bad. So anything that's good can easily become bad if it's a distraction. And so he's using weight as basically a distraction in our life. And he's describing it and unpacking it. And I could talk a lot about distractions. There's so many out there. But what I really want to focus on this morning is one that I think is really relevant to you guys. And it's technology. It's technology. I think it's the easiest distraction in all the world that captures our attention. 2,617 times a day. That's the average somebody touches their phone if you have a cell phone. That's a lot of times that you are tempted to not think about God. 7 hours and 27 minutes is the average a student, a teenager, will spend in front of a screen. 3 hours a day is a summary, or basically a statistic on middle schoolers who spend in front of a video game. 3 hours a day, average, what you spend in front of a video game. That's a lot of screen time. That's a lot of opportunities to not think about God. That there has never been more new ways in the history of the world to distract you from God. That's why we need to learn how to focus and focus. And he goes on to say, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Meaning, clings closely, meaning you are literally surrounded by this distraction. And so the way I illustrate this, or the picture I would give, I worked a few years ago in high school ministry, and I had a student, he was a senior in high school, and he worked a job at a movie theater. And he got done with his late shift, it was around 11 o'clock, and he starts to walk towards his car. His only car was kind of the far car in the parking lot, and he had a Jeep. And so he walks to the end of the parking lot. It's dark. He gets in his Jeep, kind of takes off his backpack, puts in the passenger seat, buckles his seatbelt, sits there, gets ready. And then he hears a noise. He hears a noise. And so his heart starts pumping. He looks to his back seat and he sees somebody in his car. There's literally someone asleep in the man's back seat of his car. Like, that's top three worst fear for me. I mean, that is scary movie written all over it. And he screams, sprints out of his car, runs back into his job, and calls the cops. And so what happened was a homeless man fell asleep in the back of his Jeep and was just laying there. And he looks back, and he had no idea until he got in the car. That's crazy. That's going to cause you, most of you guys, to always look in the back seat of your car every time you get in. But the author of Hebrews is basically illustrating that we have things that surround us and that we need to take them just as seriously as if we had someone in the back seat of our car. And he goes on to say, lay aside, meaning throw them off, meaning run in the opposite direction. Why? Because they weigh you down. They cling so closely. It's graphic imagery to run away, to run, to flee. So the best question you can ask right now, if you're taking notes, is not necessarily in my life, is what I'm doing a sin? Is what I'm doing sin? Because you could always ask, hey, is this a sin or is that a sin or is this a sin? Is that a sin? And you could justify your way out of it. The best question to ask yourself, is this weighing me down? Does this thing that I'm doing slow me down from following Jesus? Because that'll help you identify a distraction. Because you could see social media. I mean, it's a great way to connect with people from all over the world. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but if it distracts you, it slows you down from following Jesus, then it becomes a weight which clings so closely, which we should throw off. We should run the opposite direction. And so that's the danger of distraction. In verse 2, we see, here's what he says. He says, now what we do with that? Where does our attention go? He goes, fixing our eyes on Jesus. So he tells us the aim of our attention. We saw the danger of distraction. Now we see the aim of our attention. We aim it somewhere. The author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Meaning he's saying, hey, the only solution to your distraction is to fix your eyes on Jesus. And I think we could hear that and say, man, that's the church answer. That's like the cliche answer. And what that means is that every day you wake up, every morning, what you choose to do is you choose to realize that God has chosen to focus on you, that God has given you everything so you could live forever. That's how you focus on Jesus. And so my point I want to make is that when we give Jesus our attention, we lose sight of our distraction. When we give Jesus our attention, we lose sight of our distraction. Everything else falls out of place. Everything pales in comparison to fixing our eyes on Jesus. And I love this line. He says, Jesus endured the cross with great joy. I read that and I immediately think about Chick-fil-A. And literally you go to Chick-fil-A and what happens? You say, thank you. And they respond and they say, why? Because they literally find it great joy to serve you. They find pleasure in serving you. Literally, that's crazy. And that's why Chick-fil-A is the best fast food restaurant of all time. Hands down, no doubt. Literally. Come on. I mean, let's go, people. Come on. That's amazing. That's amazing. But that is basically what Jesus is saying right here, or what the passage is talking about. It's saying, hey, Jesus considered it joy to serve you. It did something far greater than just hand you a sandwich or some chicken nuggets. Jesus went to the cross on your behalf, did something that no one else wanted to do, and went to the cross. He considered it great joy. It did something that you couldn't do for yourself. And I think we can approach this message with this fail mentality. And we can say, hey, I have this thing in my life. I have this distraction. It weighs me down. I got worry, anxiety, fear, guilt, shame, and they started to distract me. I got my phone and technology and all these things I know aren't great for me, and I haven't really been wise with how I'm handling it. I don't really know if I can beat this. And the way you beat it is you quit trying to fix your attention, fix your eyes on trying to fix yourself, and you fix your attention, you shift your focus on fixing your eyes on Jesus. When you try to fix yourself, it doesn't work. I'm not here to give you tips and tricks on how to fix yourself. That's not going to work. There's only one thing that can really help you, one thing that can change your life, and it's fixing your eyes on Jesus. And that's what the author is communicating. He's saying the only one solution is fixing your eyes on Jesus, waking up every day with an understanding of who he is. And so there's two questions, I think, when we get distracted, we're ultimately asking. The first question we ask is, what's better? What's better? I know I do this, or I'm tempted to do this all the time. Like, pretend we sit down and we just want to read our Bible really bad, and then we get a text. And we're reading our Bible and we get a text. What we're really communicating is that there's a better use of my time than reading the Bible. I'm going to go and look at something else because that's a better use of my time. Or we're at small group and we get distracted and we're supposed to be reading God's word on our YouVersion app, and then we get a text or a game pops up and we're actually playing games. In reality, what we're communicating in that moment is, I think there's a better use of my time than this small group experience. We're telling ourselves in a moment of distraction, what's better? What's better? That's a question we ask ourselves all the time. The next question we ask ourselves is, what's next? What's next? What's better? What's next? I think this is really relevant for us as teenagers, because what happens is, whenever you're in elementary school, you want to be in middle school. Whenever you're in middle school, you want to be in high school. And whatever you're not, you want to be. You want to be somewhere else. You want to get to the next thing, the next dance, the next activity, the next movie. You want to go to the next event, whatever it is. You're always asking yourself, what's next? And so you're always moving, and you're almost like, I wish my life was in fast forward so I could get to the next thing. And what you do is, when you ask yourself what's next, you miss out what's really now, what's happening now, being present. So you ask yourself what's better and what's next. Those two distractions will increase the noise of the distraction in your life. Those two distractions will increase the noise of focus. So you can't focus. And so at my house, we have two things that I'm going to show you a picture of, see if you guess what they are. Two of these devices, these are sound machines. One of the greatest inventions of all time, okay? So at any given time, when you walk, who sleeps with a fan, right? Right? You sleep with a fan or a sound machine or whatever it is. Whenever you sleep with those things, you turn on something that's called white noise, and you turn that thing up. And we have these all over our house because it helps us sleep so we can't hear other noise. And we turn that white noise up. And what white noise does, what it's created for, is it drowns out any other noise in the room. So you can't hear anything else. It's supposed to drown out the noise in your life. So you can simply sleep, right? That's what a sound machine does. I think that's a good kind of picture of what I'm talking about in distraction. Is that distraction really does drown out God's word in our life. It drowns out what he wants to say to us. And we get distracted. We get distracted. Psalm 46:10 just says a simple statement you've probably heard. It says, be still and know that I am God. He's saying, cease striving. Be patient. Stop. Quit asking yourself what's next. Quit asking yourself what's better. Be patient. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 119 just talks about how God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Meaning, in order for you to get direction for your life, you can't be distracted. In order for you to get direction for your life, you have to go to God's word. And the only way you hear God's word is if you're fully focused on what he wants you to hear. So the greatest encouragement as we close, the greatest encouragement I can give you right now, as you're paying attention. Last night I talked about one simple thing that you could do every single day. One simple thing is to love God a little bit more and to love others a little bit more. To know him a little bit more and to love others a little bit more. Every day, that should be your goal. And then I want you guys this morning to realize this simple truth, that God wants to spend time with you. He wants to spend time with you. You don't have to convince him to spend time with you. That's amazing. And when you're going to God, you're going to somebody who's never once questioned what's going to happen next, who's never once feared or felt worried or looked out and was scared. You're going to somebody who is perfect. And when you go to that person, his character begins to rub off on you. And you conform to him. And you start, even though your life could feel crazy and complicated, you could have purpose. because you're conformed to God. You're spending time with him, and his character is rubbing off on you. That's amazing. That's amazing. And this is a part of my story. That's why I'm passionate about it. I started with it because in college, I was consumed with distraction. Like, I went to distraction every single time. And the problem with distraction is it's hard to detect. You don't really know you're distracted until it gets to something worse. Because distracting kind of starts at the front end, you're really not sure how to see it and identify it. And what I did is when I, in college, had a bunch of anxiety, what I would do is I would just distract myself because I didn't want to feel anxious anymore. I'd just look at my phone or I'd watch TV or I'd just forget about what was happening and I would just try to numb myself with distraction. And that made the problem worse. And it got worse and worse and worse until I got depressed. And that's part of my story. It's because I didn't identify distraction. I didn't lay it aside. I didn't see it as something that clings so closely and I should run away from it. I kept moving forward in the distraction of my life. And it hurt. And so here's some practical ways we can guard against distraction that you can write down. I'm going to throw these on the screen. It's number one, maybe commit to keeping your phone outside your room at night. Just knowing that, hey, instead of just looking at my screen before I go to bed, I might just pray and ask God for clarity in my life, or ask God just that he would be with me, or ask God for his strength, or ask God that I could just continue to focus on him. Maybe it's commit to just maybe not touching technology every day before you spend time with God. Just saying, I'm going to give God my first priority. I'm going to seek him first. And that's going to be the way I commit to following him. Another one might be just commit to fasting from your screen for a certain amount of time. Just saying, hey, maybe for these few hours or maybe for this day or maybe just like a Sunday or pick a day or whatever it is, just say, hey, I'm going to remove the distraction. I'm going to be still and know that he is God. I'm going to stop striving and focus on one thing. That's what we can do. And so the last point I want to make in verse 3, as we can see, it says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And so we see not only the danger of distraction, the aim of our attention, but we get to see the future of our focus. The future of our focus. Here's what it says. It says, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And so what he's describing is, man, if you focus on your reputation, you know what you're going to get? Comparison. If you focus on Instagram, you know what you're going to get? Insecurity. If you focus on your sin, you know what you're going to get? Overwhelmed. If you focus on Jesus, the future of your life is going to be peace and joy every time. Doesn't mean your life's going to get easier, but it does mean that God is going to give you consistent strength to fight through it and persevere. And so I want to close with this story. It's a really unique story. I thought it was really cool just for this message, but it's about a girl named Florence Chadwick. Great name. That's pretty cool. But in 1952, that's a long time ago, she decided, we got a picture of her up here. There we go. So it's a black and white photo. So it's from a while ago. But she chose to swim 26 miles from the coast of Carolina to Catalina Island. So to give you some perspective of what she did, she chose to swim 16 hours straight. That's how long it would take to swim 26 miles. 16 hours straight with a boat following her to swim. And she was swimming, and she was swimming, and she was swimming. And she was 15 hours in to swimming. And a fog comes over this ocean. And she starts to see the fog and starts to get tired and tired. She wears out and gets discouraged. And she immediately just waves her hand and says, I'm coming in. I can't do it anymore. And she gets in the boat. This is crazy. She gets in the boat, realizes, comes to, and they tell her, you're only half a mile away from shore. That she swam 15 hours straight and was only a few, she was literally only half a mile away from the shore where she could literally see it, but the fog kept her from finishing. The fog of distraction kept her from finishing. And here's what she said. Look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen land, I could have made it. And so what she's saying is, it wasn't the muscle cramps or the jellyfish or the fear of sharks or the cold water. It wasn't any of that. What it was the distraction of fog. It was the distraction in her life. It kept her from finishing the race. And that's what Hebrews is talking about. distraction will keep you from finishing the course, finishing the race that God's put you on. And if you're not careful, if you don't detect it early, if you don't ask yourself, what is slowing me down, then it could be too late, that something worse could happen. And so ask yourself, it's a great question, that when we give Jesus our attention, we lose sight of our distraction. We lose sight of our distraction. And so as we close, I just want to recap really quick what we talked about. This whole weekend, we talked about that following God isn't complicated, but it is costly. It's not complicated, but it is costly because it's going to cost you time and energy. It's going to cost you maybe sacrificing some things that you want. It's going to cost you to deny yourself. But ultimately, the future of your focus, the future of your life is peace, joy, and endurance. And that's what we learn in Hebrews 12. And that's what God wants for you. Today, you can decide for the first time, I want to give God my attention. You can walk out of this room with a desire, with a commitment to yourself and to others and say, hey, following God isn't easy, but it's simple. We have his church, I have his word, and I have his people. And I'm going to make that commitment to follow him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you that you've given us your word and you've not led us astray, that you want us to be clear. You want life to be clear. You don't want us to be confused, but you've clearly marked out in your word what you call us to do. You've given us our purpose. Lord, you've given us a message. You've given us our focus. Keeping your eyes on you. It's simple, but it's hard. So I pray for every student in this room. I pray they would not grow weary of doing good. They would not grow discouraged in a world full of temptation and complexity. But they'd do one thing well. They'd make their life count. They wouldn't waste their time, but they pursue the one who is worth it. That's joy in you. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. That's what